I'd like to open tonight with just a quick word of prayer before we get to sit here. Dear Lord, we just come before you tonight, and we want to thank you for, as somebody mentioned earlier, the blessing of being able to come before you at your throne of grace, and just pray that you'd be with me tonight and help me to speak the words you want me to say, and be with the services at camp as they're getting ready to start. Pray that your hand would be on them and that you'd work in lives down there. And just pray that you'd help someone to get some good out of what you've given me tonight, and I pray that you just keep me calm and help me to bring it across in a way that people be understanding. In your name, amen. As I get into the lesson tonight, you kind of understand hopefully where I'm coming from. I guess I was going to title it or whatever. The title would be Establishing a Personal Faith in Christ Jesus. And, you know, as a kid growing up in church, it's pretty easy just to profess you're a Christian and mean it with all your heart. But especially, I guess, in my situation, being a preacher's son and growing up, you know, you're in church every week and everything, and people, it's just kind of expected of you. But at some point in time in your life, you have to come to a realization of your own faith and develop and build a faith in Christ Jesus that you can claim as your own, and that is not something that your parents or whoever it may be help you establish. It's got to be something that's personal with you. Especially at this point in my life, I think it's really becoming real to me because, you know, I've got a young son over there, 8 months old next week, and my wife, you know, 3 years. So it's really a point in my life where it's real critical to me to be able to come to this point, and the peace of knowing, and not the peace of knowing your salvation, the peace of knowing that without a shadow of a doubt, you know what you believe. And I'll be honest with you, you know, there a lot of people could stump me on the fly. As far as with questions and things, there's a lot of people that could just, they could really have me backed into a corner quick. And I know that, and it's something I want to work on. And that's another reason that I felt like I should do this, because this is a way for me to get through that and to learn and study. And, well, I'll tell you, preparing this stuff, I don't know how Dad does it. It's a calling. It really is. It is a, it's a gift, and it's something that God really, I think, would have to bless somebody with that calling, because it's with the work and everything, it would absolutely be a difficult thing for me to do every week, and it really is a calling. I believe that. You know, as I was talking about Heston growing up, you know, I know there's going to come a point in time in his life where he's got questions, you know, whether it be, you know, we're on our way home from church after a service. You know, there might be something that just really, you know, he's going to have questions, just like maybe Clayton had questions about salvation and just different things. And I want to be able to answer that. And I want to be able to do it and present it and tell him Scripture, take him to Scripture, and without a shadow of a doubt, that way he can be grounded and eventually develop a personal faith himself. Many people take it for granted, if you've grown up in church or everything, that you have a grasp on that automatically. And sometimes, you know, you do, sometimes you don't. It's difficult for me to be disciplined. I find it hard to have a good discipline where I read consistently an adequate amount of Scripture every day, or read every day, whether it be morning. You know, it can be with the hurries of life and work, and especially as a young family, you know, you feel like, boy, I got to get out there and get after it. It can be difficult to take that time. So that's another thing I struggle with. But I had a situation when I was about 12 or 13. I don't remember the exact age. We were having camp meeting here at church, and I believe Ronnie Simpson or Andy, one or the other, was preaching. And I was just really under conviction about, you know, I professed salvation, but I was just really unsettled, a lot of questions and stuff. And so that night after the message, I went forward, and that's what I was praying about. And a gentleman came over and knelt down with me and asked me, you know, if there was something he could pray with me about. And so I told him, I said, well, I'm really having some doubts about my salvation. And I can't remember exactly what he said, but it was something to this effect that, well, you've grown up in church, you're a preacher's son, you know, there's not really a lot that I can tell you, but I'll pray with you. And, you know, he didn't do it in a way that was, didn't say it in a way that was mean, or, you know, I don't think he meant any harm, but it really took me aback as a kid, because I thought, you know, what I was really wanting someone to do was to open their Bible and say, listen, you know, here's where you can take me through the scriptures and say, and give me those scriptures of assurance. But nonetheless, about 2 years later, in fact, it was when Dad was the only time I remember Dad preaching at camp, teen week. I was 14 years old and had really never got settled and went forward that week. And that's when I really came to a good, comfortable settling of my salvation at camp when Dad was preaching down there. I don't know why it happened to be when he was preaching down there and not here, but it just did. But anyhow, as I said earlier, you know, it's really become apparent to me now that I want to be grounded, know the Scripture, and know the biblical doctrine and convictions, and have the know the Scripture to back them up with when I am presented with questions and so forth. You know, I don't want it to be something that is just, well, that's the way it was when I grew up, or that's the way Mom and Dad did it. But I really do want it to be a real thing with me and my life and my family. Kind of what I want to go over here is, you know, just pose the question, what is faith? And I feel like a good biblical definition of that is Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I went to Webster's, and a definition that was used there was unquestioning belief specifically in God. And then there was a few more points there, and one of them was a complete trust or confidence, and then loyalty. And so I kind of wanted to focus around a composition of a faith. And obviously, you know, in something I was thinking about when, well, I'll do that in a second. Anyhow, faith is a belief in Jesus Christ, and that we know that God is God. It is no question. There is not Muhammad. It's not Joseph Smith. It's not anything else. It's God is God. It's Jesus Christ. And that's where, if you don't have that belief, if you don't believe that, you're not going to have a true biblical faith. You can't. That's got to be your cornerstone. And a verse for that is Colossians 1:16. And if you want to turn with me there, that's fine. If not, I'm going to go ahead and start reading it. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And another thing that to have a good solid faith is we have to have trust. And in that trust, I believe it starts with trusting Him as our Savior. And this is the part, once when Dad mentioned about the Mormons working town, as I go down through a few more points here on a faith, that's one thing a false religion does not have is trust. They don't have trust in anybody. It's all about actions. It's all about work. A false religion doesn't have a trust in anything. It's they're just hoping and that they're good enough and that they can do enough good works to get there. There's no trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And we also have to have trust in His promises. And a passage for that is Ephesians 1:3. Flip backwards here a little bit to that. 1:13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And, you know, once you have a belief in God as God and a trust in God as your salvation, you start developing or building around the doctrine. And, you know, His word and doctrine, they've got to be the ultimate authority. The doctrine of the Bible, the doctrine of salvation, the doctrine of grace, faith, salvation by grace, those things have to be core as well. And, you know, you have to believe that God is the ultimate authority. There's nowhere else to turn to but to God when it comes right down to it. And 2 Timothy 3:16 is a scripture that I had on that. And All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And, you know, if you don't have those things, them are things that after you get into God's Word and after you get into good church that preaches the Bible, you know, them things will you will be taught, but I believe they're still part of, if you don't grasp them, your faith will be lacking. And convictions, you know, after you get doctrine, you start building on convictions. And if you don't have convictions, you won't have a standard to live your life by and make decisions. You know, if you don't have convictions, the next time you're presented with that question or problem, you might, you know, you can just go here, there, or wherever. But, you know, convictions, once you start defining them and building them, you'll have the ability, what I would call, you know, the ruler to go off of for the rest of your life and to be able to shape your life. And faith is expressed through actions and words. And as I said earlier, you know, these false religions, cults, it's all about the actions. You know, they're great at getting out and action, doing. But if you don't have the trust, it's not there. But the action can be there, and you know, you can have it. But a good solid faith in Jesus Christ will not have. You know, you have to have trust. If you turn with me to 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 through 16. Let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate on these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So your action, your word, you know, that's how you let people know about your faith, once you have established and know what you believe. You know, most people profess to have faith in something, but as we went over these things here, you know, if there's not some of these core components, your faith will be shallow. You know, it's just like me as a kid. I can say, yeah, I have faith, but if somebody really starts asking me some tough questions, can I answer them? Can I give them scripture to know what my faith is? And you know, different people can help you with that. With, you know, and different, whether it be the pastor, your parents, teachers, if you go to a Christian school, or, you know, if you're camp counselors, different people are there. Is until you start getting in to the Bible and studying it out for yourself, it'll really never become personal and real to you. And there's another thing with relying on other people. The Bible says in Acts 17, and I'll go ahead and turn there, it's studying the Word to see if, and these were apostles that God had sent to the Bereans, and it talks about the Bereans were noble enough to go in and search out and make sure of what they were teaching. So, it, you know, you can't just take it for what their word, you know, what they're telling you. The Bible is specifically instructs us to go in and study for ourselves. And that is in 17 verse 10 and 11. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scripture daily whether those things were so. And God calls them; they were more noble for doing so. You know, they weren't going to just sit there like a baby with their mouth open waiting for a spoon. You know, they were going to get in and find out and and learn and teach and study the word for themselves. You know, God commands us as children, as parents, which it's hard to still. I'm not used to the fact that I still got a little guy over there that I'm responsible for. It's coming more and more clear every day. But you know, it's biblical for us to instruct and give godly advice and to offer counsel, but it's very important to encourage them to study it out for themselves. Not only, you know, say, hey, you know, here's how you need to look at that, or here's what you should do in this situation. But, you know, you need to encourage them to find out on their own and to get into the Word and to find out what God's Word has to say about it without just taking it from the preacher, from mom and dad, from whoever they're seeking advice or counsel from. You know, it doesn't take away from the importance of a godly heritage. You know, I've got my grandparents here tonight, my dad and uncles. It's so important, and it makes it a lot easier. I don't know what or where I'd be if I hadn't have had that kind of a heritage, but you know, it's very important to do that and to establish something that your kids can call a biblical heritage. A key question to ask yourself: does my faith play a dynamic role in my life? Does it change how I view life or make decisions, or is it stagnant? Is it something I claim because of tradition or because it's all I've ever known? It's all I've known in my life. You know, I personally know of situations where grown adults are in church that is not moving forward. It's slowly dying, and the only reason they're there is because that's where they were raised at, and that's where family goes. It's comfortable. And, you know, that's a bad situation to be in. And if you're not careful, and I don't think anybody does it intentionally, but they get comfortable, and it's not a good place to be. It's the longer you stay there, in fact, the harder it'll be to leave. But, you know, and family can put pressure on you, especially, you know, it can be difficult, I'm sure. I've not been in that situation, but we're fortunate here not to have that situation. I'm thankful for that. As you get older, though, your faith is tried and tested with struggles and temptations and different circumstances and events that are brought about as life goes on. Just a few examples, you know. I would say probably the first real true test that a young person gets is when they get their first job. You go out into the workforce. It can be very devastating to some. They want to please. They want to work. They want to make everybody like them. They want to do a good job. And, you know, I know we were raised around the cell barn. It's not the most Christian-friendly place to be, just being bluntly about it. You know, basically, it was my second home until I was 13 years old, from the time I was 5 years old. And I don't remember a whole lot past 5 years, you know, before 5 years old. So that you're around a lot of crude people. You're around a lot of people that don't have any time for God. But, you know, fortunately for me, I had a good family to come home to, a good church, and people to surround me that it didn't affect me in that way. And I, at that point in time, I wasn't worried about getting hired or keeping my job. So, you know, I didn't have those pressures, but between the ages of 10 and 13, it could have really had some negative effects on my life for sure. Looking back, I can really see that. And that's something I've got to protect my son from, because he's in the same situation as I was at that. So another thing, you know, going off to college, and I've heard Dad say this before and other people, it can be, if you don't have a true faith in Jesus Christ in this book right here, you can really be tore apart at college. You know, I dropped a class in college one time. I don't even know if I've ever told Mom and Dad this. I dropped a class and it was about the craziest thing I ever did set in, and I was in there for a couple, I think two or three class periods, and I thought, well, I can't handle any more of this, so I walked away from that one. But, you know, there's them situations are out there, and a lot of times, sometimes you can stand up and fight, but sometimes you're best off just to walk away, because if you ain't careful, you stay there, you think, well, I can argue with them, or I can reason with them, and it's, you know, some situations that's just the thing to do, but in a class situation, that can be very difficult to do and very intimidating. And I would, you know, for me, the best thing to do is just get out of there. I thought it was a joke, period, and I didn't want to waste my time sitting through it. I wasn't going to learn anything. So, it, you know, wouldn't have been any benefit to me. Marriage can be another difficult thing to try your faith. First of all, if you don't marry a Christian, someone that knows God as their personal Savior, that would be very difficult. I'm fortunate not to be in that situation, but I can imagine both of us wanting to go to church. It's still tough sometimes. You know, there's things, and if one of them said, "Well, you know, I don't want to go today," and it was always a fight. I can imagine how hard it would be to be in church, and the different things that come up. I mean, everybody that's married in here is aware of that. You know, there's always situations that arise that are not the most pleasant to discuss, or the most fun to discuss, but it's to be handled, and it can be very trying on your faith. People can get very unchristlike, and that's just the long and short of it. You know, it can be difficult in that way. Another thing is finances. Finances are very difficult. Sometimes the best paying jobs, they want you to work on Sundays. Or they want this or that. And it can be tough. You have to make decisions. And when it seems like, you know, boy, the bank account could really use that, what is best for my family in the long run? That's another test of your faith. Health situations. I think of Dale Garapi. He's not here tonight. But, you know, how you respond to these situations is a testimony of your faith. If you let it get you down, if you act like, "Well, God's just after me," you know, He may be chastening you, but don't get bitter at God about it. And that will really be a big, I mean, that is a huge test of a person's faith, is their health and health issues that come up and arise. Another person I think of, you know, here tonight, Bob Chadwell, tragic accident with his son. He lost his son at the age of 12 or so. That could have really sent Bob the other way. It could have really, you know, Bob could a drunk out street somewhere because he just, you know, just turned away from it all. But I would imagine Bob would say it was probably one of the most faith-building events in his life. And everybody knows that Bob's on fire for God. He loves to bench and loves God's Word. You know, these are all things that will test your faith, let you know, and build as you do get older, and let you know that, and let faith be an active part of your life. True personal living faith should be shown through actions, as I said before. And I'll close out here with James chapter 2 and verses 17 through 20. "Even so, faith, if it had not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man say, 'Thou hast faith, and I have works.' Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, vain man, faith without works is dead? Was it not Abraham?" That cut off there. But that's all I have.